Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. I hope that everyone is doing okay. All my people over in West Alabama, I hope that you guys are doing fine. I know this past week it was, Alabama. So hopefully they'll redeem themselves and get back in the hunt. But Georgia is in the number one spot now. So if you are a UGA fan or you watch Alabama football, or even if you follow Auburn's football, it's still a very exciting time for the SEC. Now, myself, I'm a big HBCU football fan. So this past weekend, I was down in Albany, Georgia for the Albany State University homecoming. We had a great time. The theme this year was, it's the coming home for me. That was the theme. But we had a great attendance, and it was good to be back on the college campus and see so many friends and alumni. And you know, you saw people with their mask on and socially distancing where we can, and that's still a good thing, because even though, you know, the news is reporting that the numbers are going down with COVID, we do know that we are transitioning to the heart of sickness season, you know, the wintertime, when the flu and all other germs and things of that nature seems to thrive when you don't have that summer heat that normally helps help kills it. So, you know, we just got to make sure that we're still taking care of ourselves and doing what we need to do to stay clean and stay away from COVID-19. Again, we're still praying for all of the families that have lost loved ones to this ugly virus. You're still in our prayers, and we're certainly thinking about you. I tell you, COVID-19 has truly done a number on our community as far as people that we know that we have since lost. It's very, very, very heartbreaking to Miss Pamela Stevens Williams, and certainly to Miss Shavonda Peebles. You know, the community still hold you two close to our hearts. My good friend in here to have a conversation with us. He had a program, a part of a program. The entire program is quite lengthy, but there was a segment of it this past weekend in Columbus, Georgia, at Carver High School, and it's called "Shoot Films, Not Guns." Shoot films, not guns. And we're going to get him in here shortly, but what I enjoyed and appreciate so much about that approach is that there are so many of our children with amazing artistic abilities that want the opportunity to work in a venue of this area, want the opportunity to be occupied with doing something productive versus being out there and not having anything to do at all. For a minute there was a huge push here in Columbus, Georgia, to make us this film industry area, to embrace the film industry, to support the film industry. Well, we can also extend that and have a branch of that that reaches out to our young folks. My good friend, Lyndon Birch, is with me here today. Mr. Birch, my friend Lyndon, how are you doing today, sir?
Doing great, Teddy. Thank you for having me.
Lyndon, thank you for taking time to join us today. You know, I've known you ever since I moved to Columbus, and you're always a man of honor, a man of dignity, one that always have positive things to say, someone who's always trying to work to improve the condition of our community. And what's so amazing about you, Lyndon, is that you have a unique insight to understanding the younger generation, because you've worked with so many of them for years at Girls Inc. as well as the Boys and Girls Club. We're going to touch on that shortly too, but let's talk real quick about the Shoot Films, Not Gun program. Tell us about that, and how did you get involved with it?
Well, Shoot Film, Not Guns was born out of another organization that I started a couple of years ago, which is the American Youth Film Festival. When I was at Girls Inc., I noticed the girls were always using their phone to film and record videos. And just so happened, I read an article in one of the, I think it was Georgia Trend, and it was talking about how big the film industry was getting here in Georgia. So I had this light bulb moment, you know, this idea. And I had a friend that works in the industry, and I called her, and we put together the film festival. And that was in 2015. Since 2015, we have, at the film festival, received over 700 entries from around the world, from 44 states and 12 foreign countries. young people doing their craft, being creative, doing film or creating film, writing, casting, acting in films, and then submitting them to us. So that was one aspect of it. So my friend says, let's expand and include more artistic areas, which photography, modeling, and music. So we haven't gotten to all of them yet, but we started the American Youth Art Society. And our initiative for the art society was shoot film, not guns, because we had already, you know, had an aspect of the film industry. So what we do with shoot film, not guns, is we offer or we introduce kids to careers in the film industry. We teach workshops, and then at the end of the program, we challenge them to create PSAs to stop bullying or anti-bullying and stop the violence. And you would be amazed at the creativity that these young people have. And the event at Carver last week, we gave them an hour. We gave them, we did 1 hour of workshops, and it was like a real rush through because we didn't have that much time. We gave them an hour to create a PSA about stopping the violence and anti-bullying. And once they did that, they submitted it to us, and we replayed it on the monitor for them to see. Now, 1 hour seems like a long time, but it's not that long. These kids, some of them, you know, we broke them up into groups. One group found a piano on the stage, and their group, the guy created a musical score to go with their video or their PSA. Another group, they did a music video about violence and stopping the violence and anti-bullying. So that was just amazing. So we've created that forum and introduced that forum to them. And as a reward, we're going to be working with those students to have them visit a movie set, a film set, during a film, you know, during the filming of a movie.
Wow.
We're still working on that. And wow. That will be one of the aspects of what we'll do to reward those that were there on that. They were lucky enough to be there that day.
Now, Lyndon, you know, one thing I often say is that I think we too often underestimate the ability and the creativity of our young people. And I remember I said that one day after leaving Carver High School. I was working with Georgia Appleseed then, but they had me as their special guest on their morning news story, newscast. And it was just so, just mind-boggling and incredible to see these young kids in high school basically produce their own newscasts right there at Carver. We have the talent. We have the kids that want to participate. They are yearning to get engaged in creative activity. They are desiring to be a part of something greater than them. They are trendsetters. They are the people that are setting the standards oftentimes for things that drive, you know, something like the music industry or the video industry. And so you're talking about how these kids just basically, you know, developed a short film within an hour's time using unexpected resources that were right there on site for them. You know, and I'm just curious, are those films, have they been loaded somewhere where the listeners can go and look at them?
We're developing a channel. We're developing a YouTube channel and a private channel. So they should be, by the end of the year, we should have several of the submissions that we received over the years to, because we have to get, you know, commissions and all that kind of stuff. And from the actual filmmaker, you know, they submit it to us, but we can't display it without mm-hmm. their permission. So we're working through a lot of permissions, and we'll have that shortly, you know, in a couple of months. But the kids that did this event last week, to see them break up into groups of about 10 to 12 kids and come up with a concept, decide who's going to do what, which is what a director does, and have them have somebody record it or film it and then edit it. All of this within an hour. It's just, the average person is mind-boggling, you know. But we have some other things coming up, because Columbus was very receptive to the shoot film, not guns concept. We're going to try to do some music videos for some of the kids that like to rap. It has to be clean. So we're going to try to have them come and shoot a music video. And then we're going to do a documentary film on some of the violence that has happened here. You know, a lot of times we see it on television and we see the candlelight visuals, and then, you know, it seems like it goes away because another story takes over. But we want to do a documentary and talk to the families of a lot of the violence that has happened here in Columbus over the years, and have a showing or a screening mm-hmm. of that. We want to talk to some parents, some brothers and sisters, you know, grandparents, friends, and get their feelings on how this has affected them over the years. You know, some of them will be recent, and some will be cases that happened years ago. But we've been connecting with people since last week, and my phone has been ringing off the hook. My email is just out of the world with different ideas and people that want to collaborate with us. And we think that Columbus is ripe at this moment for us to bring that program here on a permanent basis and expose our kids to something very, very rewarding that could change their life. You know, I know you mentioned the Carver football team, and my wife is a Carver alumni, and I love football. But, you know, unfortunately, everybody can't play football. So we think that introducing them to careers in film industry or in the entertainment industry is another outlet, you know, to let them express themselves.
Yeah, and, you know, if you look at it from where we have transitioned to as a society, you know, many of our social media platforms is a place where people display their talent, whether they're putting a video on Facebook or a short story on Facebook or something on TikTok or something on Instagram, you know, or something on Twitter, whatever it is, you know, it's a place where we're seeing a lot of our young people show their talent and show their capability of tapping into, you know, amazing creativity. Now, Lyndon, I know you had a lot of community partners and leaders to come and engage in the program with you. And I've spoken to a couple of those individuals, and, you know, and they've given me their feedback on just how shocked they were to see the young folks so engaged in an activity as to such. And many of them, you know, they were the mind frame that, you know, the kids were going to be shy and they were not going to engage because, you know, that's what we tend to think about our young people sometimes, but that wasn't the case. So, Linda, what is it that you think is the key here, the secret sauce here with filming that makes our young folks so excited and want to get so engaged?
Well, you know, there are several social media platforms that kids are able to film or download music or upload, I guess they would say, upload videos and little short films or little short clips. Everybody wants to be in front of the camera. Everybody wants to be the star. And then when you hear these when you hear these stories about the Kardashians is just one of the ones I can think of, you know, how the people follow them. They're social media influencers. You know, everybody wants that 15 minutes. But what we're trying to do is show them that there's also a career behind the scenes. You know, not everybody's going to be in front of the camera forever. But I think that's what it is. It's the opportunity to get dressed up, put on makeup, and if you got a unique dance or something unique, or if you're a comedian, to get on these social media platforms and display a video of yourself, a short clip or something of yourself for millions and millions of people to see. So I think that's what it is. It's that opportunity to be on stage for your 15 minutes, you know?
You know, and that's the unique part about it. Now you personally, you have worked within fields of working with our young folks for a long time, you know, with Girls Inc., with the Boys and Girls Club, and with the film industry, as you're speaking of today. What is it, in your opinion, that may be contributing to us losing some of our young people, and they're choosing to go down this road of violence and gang activity and drugs and things of that nature? It seems like we're losing a large portion of them at an alarming rate. What do you think is contributing to that?
Well, the biggest factor that I think, my personal opinion, is the breakdown of the family.
Uh-huh.
You know, I come from a single parent household, but my mother, she did it. You know, she made sure that we as a family, she and I, took vacations. She made sure I did my homework. She made sure I went to church. She made sure that I rode the bus to school, made sure I got up to be at school on time. You know, and when I worked at Girls Inc., one of the things that I made sure to do was I had my office door open so that the kids walking in could always say hello, and I could say hello to them. Because I knew that for most of those young ladies, I was the only black male that they saw that day in a positive light. You know, sometimes, you know, their parents have male friends that are not as attentive or not as encouraging as I tried to be to them, you know, give them a positive word, tell them how pretty they look today, you know, just something to make them smile. And, you know, unfortunately, not every child gets that. You know, it's like you, I have a young child, I have a 10-year-old. I try to be in his life every day. We have moments every day that we talk, we may laugh, we may tell each other jokes, silly jokes. You know, my wife and I try to make sure that his life, his daily life, is enjoyable. And a lot of kids don't get that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Unfortunately, they don't get that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I totally understand that point. I mean, it was just earlier this week that I, you know, surprised my daughter at her school and had lunch with her. And I could tell it was the joy of her day to hold me by the hand and walk me through the cafeteria that she goes to every day, you know, Monday through Friday. And to be, Lyndon, it was almost like I was a guest in her space. You know, this is my space. This is where I go every day. This is what I do every day. And so it was truly something to be there. But, you know, but we do live in a society where many other families are breaking down. And I, too, was raised by a single mother. So I understand where you're coming from with that. And also the first in my family to go to college. But we also have those situations where there are a lot of parents out there having to work multiple jobs, single parents working multiple jobs because of, you know, livable wages and the current minimum wage being so low. It's shameful. You can work 40 hours a week and still, you know, your income is still below the poverty level, the national poverty level. You know, that's kind of unfortunate, but that's the situation that we find ourselves in. So as a community, when you look at the, you know, places like Girls Inc. and Boys and Girls Club and the community center and, you know, the many recreational centers that we used to have, that many of them are now not functional, not operating for whatever reason it may be. How critical are those to helping to fill the gap in our community in those situations where the family unit may not be as strong as it is? And I say that, you know, making a conclusion here, some people will argue that, well, it's not our responsibility to help raise a child. Well, I disagree with that. Yeah, you don't have to become the direct parent. But if we are going to be a community, then we are going to be a community. We can only be as strong as our weakest link. So if we totally neglect parts of our city and entities of our city and certain people in our city and certain neighborhoods in our city, then we can't expect the city to progress or move any higher if we're intentionally and willingly leaving people behind. So with that understanding, and because this is my show, that's the understanding I'm going to have on that. I want to go to the part of how important are those entities, in your opinion, to our community?
Those entities are very important. They are lifeline to our kids and the lifeline to a lot of these families, because like you said, a lot of parents have to work one or two jobs, unfortunately, to make ends meet, to make sure that these kids have what they need, you know, and the basic necessities of food, housing, and, you know, transportation, and make sure that they get their schoolwork. So Boys and Girls Club, Girls Inc., Columbus Community Center, YMCA, those places fill the gap. And you know, it's a shame that so many of our other entities, because of budget shortfalls or budget cuts, are closed or closing or limited staff. But a lot of the parents and we as a community, adults in the community, we gotta participate in the political process, so that when we put people in office, we can go tell them, look, this recreation center needs to be open. You need to find a way to hire more staff, you know, so that these kids have something to do positive in the community and are not just sitting at home or running, and I say running in the street, but, you know, they're outside getting into devilment. So it's very important that we participate in the political process and keep Boys and Girls Club, Girls Inc., Community Center, all of these entities up and running and functioning at their capacity.
Absolutely. And I understand the public's sentiment, too. It's kind of hard to sell to me that there's a budget shortfall or we don't have the money for recreational centers, but, you know, we're spending multi-million dollars on buildings and building more walking trails and doing other things of that nature, you know. And even if you say it's grant money, then let's go find grant money to keep these centers open. You know, I just think that our mindset really got to change in regards to that. If we want to see improvement in our community, we can't continue to allow all of our kids to just roam the street and think that an increased presence of law enforcement is going to solve all of our problems. That's not going to solve all of our problems. And I'm a big supporter of law enforcement. Everybody knows that. That's no secret. I've always been that way on my show. But at the same time, I look at what they're able to do and what they're capable of doing realistically. And part of that is we got to have strong community engagement. That's got to be a part of the conversation as well. We have to work collaboratively with law enforcement to make it happen. And Lynn, I tell you, when you're having a good conversation, time flies. I just want to touch on one other subject, and I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you have the last word on that. Something else that greatly concerns me, too, is going back to the work that I did with Georgia Appleseed, and that was trying to severely cripple the school to prison pipeline. And I know a lot of people think that, you know, they don't like that terminology and they don't like the it feels so derogatory to them. But when we're suspending children from school and sending them home, and we're talking about these single parents again that's working two and three part-time jobs or two or three, one or two full-time jobs to make ends meet, how are they going to be home to monitor these children? I mean, I have directly seen you deflect situations at one of these locations, at the Boys and Girls Club. I've been there visiting you a few times, and I've seen you handle situations and actually reach the child and work with them on their problem, as Representative Smyra would say, put it where the goats can get it. So, you know, have we given up on that? Do you think we need more of that direct intervention with our children versus this zero tolerance mentality and just throwing them out the door?
Oh, yes. Yes, because we need more intervention programs where we counsel the kids, because, you know, unfortunately, mental health is a large part of our daily lives. You know, so you don't know, and I used to tell my staff this at Girls Inc., you know, don't be so quick to suspend them and put them out in the street for a couple of days, because you don't know what that kid is coming from, what his home life is or her home life is when they're coming to us. We got to do all we can to accommodate them, because a lot of the parents work. A lot of the parents work two jobs. If not, they would pick their kids up from school and take them home and help them with their homework. You know, so we need more intervention, and the school district shouldn't go with a zero tolerance policy. You know, because you have to go on a case-by-case basis. You know, sometimes, you know, I read a couple of stories where a kid, the parent who was irresponsible, put a loaded gun in the kid's book bag and forgot about it. The kid goes to school and he's suspended. Well, it's not the kid's fault.
It's not his fault. You shouldn't be putting that like that in the kid's book bag anyway. You know, that's just, you know, those are just reckless situations that should not be happening at all. Now, I know you have another event that's a part of the shoot films, not guns program coming up next Saturday. There's a breakfast. You want to talk about that real quick?
Yes. I partnered with Victory Over Violence. And we're having a breakfast on October 23rd from 10 to 12 at the Green Island Country Club. Tickets are $25 per ticket, or company tables, $100 for five tickets. Now, what we're doing is we're reaching out to members of the community to start supporting and find a way to cure violence. Or I say cure violence, that's another organization, but I think they're a part of it as well. But we're trying to find a solution to the violence that's happening here in the city, and, you know, discuss mental health. We have several speakers. We'll have some praise dancing. We'll have other activities for the people that are there. And we want to really invite the community out. You can go to eventbrite.com and purchase your tickets and support different organizations that are trying to stop the violence here in Columbus. We like you said earlier, you know, we're at a crucial point now.
Absolutely.
We got to get all hands on deck.
Now, where can we get more information on this breakfast? Is there like a Facebook page or something like that? We can go take a look at it.
Yes. It's at Mayo Village. You can do us. It's on Facebook at Mayo Village, and Victory. You can do a Google search for Victory Over Violence, and we'll have something on shootfilmnotguns.org.
Excellent. Excellent. Shootfilmsnotguns.org. Thank you so much, Mr. Birch.
Shoot film without the S.
Okay, shoot film. Notguns.org. Okay, shoot film.
Yes.
Notguns.org.
Film.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
That's without the S. So that's shootfilmnotguns.org. All right. We got you there. I'm glad you got me straight there. And that gave my listeners time to go get some pen and paper. Mr. Birch, thank you so much for joining us today. And please, please continue all this good. And I know it's hard, but this great work that you're doing in our community, sir. You are one of our shining stars and a pillar. And we certainly got to have all the help we can. We need all the help we can to help us deal with the issues that we're dealing with today. We so appreciate you, sir. And I look forward to having you on again soon, okay?
Thank you, sir, and all hands on deck.
Yes, sir. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, and that is shootfilmnotguns.org. Go check them out. They got a lot of great stuff going on, and I enjoyed the conversation today with Mr. Birch. Join us next Sunday as we close out the month of I think we got two more Sundays left. Yeah, October the 31st is a Sunday, so I have two Sundays left in October. But we will be right back here next Sunday, and I hope that you can join us. This is Teddy Reese with Sunday Conversation.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.